Welcome back. I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce, and this is City Views. Dr. Sanduk Ruwet has been called the god of sight for the low-cost, world-changing surgical technique he pioneered to remove cataracts. The Nepalese doctor has performed over 100,000 of these surgeries himself, and millions have regained their sight thanks to what has become known as a Ruwetectomy. I hope I said that correctly. Dr. Ruwet is in Salt Lake City as part of the Moran Eye Center's Night of Sight fundraiser, and he joins me now in studio. Dr. Ruwet, thanks so much for your time today.
Thank you, Jennifer.
Dr. Ruwet is the keynote speaker at the 2012 Night for Sight event sponsored by the Moran Eye Center International Division. The event will be held at Snowbird this Saturday night. More details on that later in the program. But if you'd like to join us, if you have questions or comments about Dr. Ruwet's groundbreaking work, you can give us a call. 801-355-TALK is our number. 801-355-8255. Dr. Ruwet, you were born in Nepal, in a very remote village. Describe your family's access to health care and how villagers were able to seek treatment.
Yeah, Jennifer, I was born way out in the real northeastern part of Nepal, at the foothills of the third tallest mountain in the world, called Kanchenjunga, at about an altitude of 10,000 feet. More or less, you know, similar sceneries like you see in Salt Lake City here, but very isolated and no health care, no education when I was there, no schools, and about 80 houses. So we had to travel very far for our education.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that there were no doctors in town.
There were no. I mean, forget about doctors. You know, there were not even any health workers there. It's very far away, yeah.
When your sister was just 17, she contracted tuberculosis.
Yes. We by that time, we moved down and brought her to a better place where she could have, you know, medical treatment. And unfortunately, she contracted, at that time, drug-resistant tuberculosis. And for that, those medicines were not either too expensive in Nepal or not available in Nepal. The second line treatment, and so she had to succumb to such a simple disease.
And her death really had an effect and put you on a path for a career in medicine.
Yeah, I was, you know, she had been like one of my very close childhood, you know, friend and sister and dear, everything, you know. We used to do a lot of things together, and when I found when I was part of the process of her dying in front of me, that really stuck very hard to me, and said maybe this is a branch or this is a career that I should very hard and try my best to take up.
So you went to medical school.
I did.
Why the eyes? Why did you decide to study eyes?
Yeah, Jennifer, the reason that I decided to do eye was, you know, when I was a general medical doctor, I worked very closely with some of the eye doctors, and I had an opportunity to go to some of the field surgeries with one eye doctor who particularly took me with him. And the second, you know, such surgical mission, I found that there was a family of seven children who had congenital cataract in their family. And all the seven children had the surgery on the same day. And what I really sort of hit in my mind was, is this a branch where you can, in such a short time, make so much difference and impact in somebody's life and so many people's life? So that was sort of a starting point for me to get into ophthalmology. That sort of inspired me to, you know, yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Sanduk Ruwet. He's an eye surgeon, the founder of the Tilganga Clinic in Nepal. He has a partnership with the Moran Eye Center here in Salt Lake City, and he's here to support their fundraising efforts as part of the Night for Sight. More details on that at kcpw.org. But if you'd like to join us, 801-355-TALK is our number, 801-355-8255. So at what point did you realize that surgery was really out of the reach for so many because they either couldn't get to a doctor mm-hmm. or they couldn't afford it?
Mm-hmm. Jennifer, when I came back from completing my residency program at the All India Institute of Medical Science in Delhi, because those days, you know, in the early 1980s, there were no residency programs in Nepal. Now we have, of course. And I came back and I found I was quite familiar with the geotopography of Nepal, you know, the landscapes and everything. I knew how people lived and I knew what are the constraints they faced. So I was in the middle of a scenario where cataract surgery was performed by the technique where they used no lens implants and gave very thick glasses. And the problem was that if you wear those thick glasses and move around in a place like Nepal, it's impossible to walk. It gives so much of coordination, in coordination and magnification that patients feel better without their glasses. And if you don't give glasses in such type of surgery, then you are almost functionally blind, right? So the issue was how could we ever take this modern state-of-the-art cataract surgery to that part of the world and make it possible in that community. Not only possible, but logistically and financially make it sustainable. That was the biggest issue that I was hitting at it, and I tried to analyze the barriers then. Yeah.
You developed something called the small incision cataract surgery. How does that differ from the way cataract surgeries were being performed prior to this technique?
Yeah, whole concept was how we can successfully, cost-effectively, practically translate the beauty of the outcomes of what you get here in this part of the world to the people there where they really, have a lot of problems. And then we started doing researches on different types of surgeries. And finally, one of the surgery which was practiced more in a small office-based surgery where it's called small incision sutureless surgery. And this is actually a manual technique where you make an opening into the eye at two different planes so that the wound becomes self-sealing. And then you remove the cataract and put in an intraocular lens. And the beauty of this technique is that you can do it at almost 1/20th of the cost of what you do here and get equal result to the ones that you get here. And also it's very simple and it's not dependent on lots of electronics and, high techs. And it's easy to teach people. And in the beginning, we had to face the dilemma of this technique being referred by many ophthalmologists in the West as more inferior technique. Mm. And
why would people say that?
People always say that something that is low tech and cheap is always inferior. You know, so we wanted to prove that that this statement was not correct. And in early 2000, we did a randomized clinical trial where my partner, who is a professor at the International Division at Moran's, Jeff Tabin, mm-hmm. and we masterminded a clinical trial, randomized clinical trial, where we invited our dear friend, Dr. David Chang from California. And David Chang is known as, I would say, the first five best surgeons in America. And he's very well internationally, very well known for the quality of surgery that he does. And he's a fantastic person, really, you know. And so anyway, we did a trial, randomized clinical trial. And, he operating half of the cases and I operating half of the cases with the technique, manual technique. And we followed the patients for 1 year. And this was a landmark study. And we found that at different times of examination, the results were extremely comparable in the two technique, but the manual technique was faster, a lot cheaper, and needed a lot of less equipments and much more simple. But actually it's the outcome, mm-hmm. The outcome was comparable, and that was one of the turning points. And also Dr. Tevin and I started doing this, you know, workshops on our technique in the American Academy of Ophthalmology every year for four consecutive years. And we found that in the beginning there were very few people, but by the time we finished on the fourth year, they had to find a big room for us. You know, there were so many people who were coming in. So I think we were turning in the people and trying to let them know that this is not an inferior technique, this is an appropriate technique with the same result.
Mm-hmm. So initial resistance, several years of trial and error and showing people, demonstrating that this has quality results.
Exactly.
Is the technique something that we would see here in the United States now?
It's being discussed quite a lot now. The reason I say this is even in the United States, if the surgeons come across a cataract which is really advanced, and it's sometimes difficult to do that with a machine called phacoemulsification, and or if you have complications during the surgery, if somebody is really good at manual technique, then it's very easy for the person to convert into a manual technique and leave the eye very safe eye. So 4 or 5 months ago, this came into a big discussion in one of the journals that came out on whether we should train your residents here also on manual technique along with the phacoemulsification. But that's, I'm not saying that we should do this or we should do that. Your phacoemulsification is the surgery of choice. But should we also teach the residents into the manual technique so they become a more versatile surgeon?
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole issue, yeah.
Speaking with Dr. Sundok Ruwet, he is the founder of the Tilganga Clinic in Nepal, an eye surgeon, and he is the keynote speaker at the Moran Eye Center International Division's Night of Sight event happening this Saturday at Snowbird. More information at kcpw.org. Dr. Ruwet, where you've really had the biggest impact is in the developing world. This particular procedure has restored sight to millions and millions of people who otherwise would be effectually blind, right?
Yeah. Now, just to give you an insight into on a more practical level, is we are working right now. We're trying to work in Indonesia. You know, Indonesia is a very large country and country which has nearly over 200 million population. And in Indonesia, the cataract surgical rate, this is the number that you express to look at the efficiency of cataract surgery in a country. And it means number of cataract surgeries per year per million population.
Mm.
And if I say that number in the United States is about more than 7,000 per year per million population, in a country like Indonesia, it's less than 500. So you actually, we're looking at a scenario where it's 15 times more and 15 times less. And the problem is a lot of the patients who are living in the outbacks and different islands of Indonesia. And I bring this example because Indonesia is such a scattered country, so many islands there. And for us to go and treat that, do that surgery there with the machine and with the expensive technique, it's impossible. And a lot of the good surgeons are working mostly on the urban cities. And they're doing the state-of-the-art, surgery, but mostly on the urban city. They don't want to go to the outback. And the blind accumulates. So this technique, we have started instituting this technique in an island called North Sumatra, in starting from a city called Medan and training a lot of other people there. And the last 3 years of our work saw tremendous rise in the number of cataract surgery being done with good quality, So the whole issue is if you really want to fight the backlog of blindness, people, you don't want to let people stay back blind, die blind. I think we have to do a technique which is more feasible. Doesn't really mean that of inferior quality, you know, but we have proved that this is of same quality. But, you know, this can be done and at much logically, much better way, you know, and spread out very easily.
So is that what is what more needs to be done is on the education, the recruitment end of this problem? You have this technique in place. It's teaching other people how to employ it, how to use it, and to get out to the outback, as you call it.
Exactly, Jennifer. We need to, you know, one is we have the technique together in a very smart, you know, sort of a package, and what we really need to do is work with the host government to get us more trainees and work with them so that they can become. The idea is to develop teacher trainees, and they go back and train a lot of other people. And then we start raising funds to get resources so that we can set up the small I units in their sections, you know. And then it gives a continuity for the future.
Dr. Sanduk Ruwet, he is an eye surgeon, the founder of the Tilganga Eye Clinic in Nepal. He is in Salt Lake as the keynote speaker at the Night for Sight event sponsored by the Moran Eye Center International Division. The event will be held at Snowbird this Saturday at 5:30. More information is on our website, kcpw.org. And Dr. Ruwet, thanks very much for your time today. City Views is a production of KCPW News in Salt Lake City. Thanks to Tamara Kemsley and Katie Sheen Abbott. Our technical director is Jesse Ellis. Next time, City Creek arrives. We'll talk about downtown's shiny new future. Join us for that tomorrow. For City Views, I'm Jennifer Napier-Pierce.